sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak on Twitter, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com on the web. What's interesting about my AKAs is that they're both on Twitter. I know I say B Blizzak on Twitter and Mr. Shut Up Podcast on the web, but I'm actually Mr. Shut Up Podcast. I'm also Mr. Shut Up Podcast on Twitter. You know, this shit is all complicated, and y'all don't need to, you guys don't need to know about all this. You don't need to hear all this shit. All right. Before we start today's show, I want to quickly remind everyone that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and also waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on October 9th, 2022. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey like Kanye West, then fuck you too. Oh my God. Oh, if you're a returning guest, you'll notice that there's a little remix in my intro. But like I said, man, this podcast is a work in progress. Just like me and my website, this podcast is a work in progress. All right, let's start this shit, man. Okay, so what did I have in my intro? Before I start, I just came across on Twitter a quote by Brother Kwame Ture. And it says, and it goes, felt like shooting the shit just to break the ice. And it goes, we were never fighting for the right to integrate. We were fighting against white supremacy. Yeah, man, white folks fucked us over. I don't know, man. Yeah, white folks fucked us over by controlling the narrative of our story of because I won't lie, man. I think I grew up in a, you know what? I'm not gonna focus on the quote. I'm just gonna it just got me. It just because I got a lot of shit to run through, and I don't want to keep you guys longer than I need to. So yeah, I will probably share my thoughts on this quote the main idea on a future episode. So let's keep going. All right, the title of today's episode, it was the difficult one. I decided to go with the line, we ain't got a dream no more. Followed by, but I do. No straight up meaning. It's if you've seen The Wire, it's a quote from it's a quote from one of the characters, Stringer. Am I okay to spoil The Wire at this point? Like, if part of listening to this podcast is you got to be a fan of The Wire. You got to watch The Wire, because I make a lot of The Wire quote. But anyways, this quote is a line said by Stringer. And I won't go into the details to why he says it, but he's just having. But the one part that I can't say and I don't think it's spoiling the show, is he's just talking to his business partner, and Avon Barksdale, and they're just reminiscing about the old days, and all the shit they've acquired, and Avon says, because Stringer was, Avon just at some point says, yo, just, basically he's trying to say, just be in the moment with me. But instead he uses the line, yo, just, they're on a rooftop staring at a rooftop of, I think Avon's place, new place, whatever. And they're just staring and he's just saying, yo, just be in the moment with me and just dream with me. Use the word dream. And Stringer responds with, we ain't got a dream no more. And what I like about that line hit me when I first heard it. And I will explain, I will elaborate further in This Week in Therapy, which is for new listeners. This is one of the segments in on this podcast. And the last segment is Random Thoughts. But yeah, this, I will elaborate further in the second segment of this podcast. So what I meant by this dream... we ain't got a dream no more. I don't know. There was a lot of, not a lot. The other line I was thinking of, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Look, I'm going to elaborate in This Week in Therapy. That's all you need to know. All right. Let's keep going, B. Keep going. This Week in Therapy. Let's break it down. How are we doing right now? Okay. This Week in Therapy. Yesterday at the barbershop, was just heard some news, you know, like every black man, not every black man, but it happens when you're at the barbershop. I just heard some tragic news about a friend that I grew up with. When I say friend I grew up with, just a friend, just my age group. She was in high school at the same time as I was. We had the same circle of friends. That's what I mean, just to get specific, what I mean by grew up with. Like we have probably a lot of mutual friends. And in a way, she's part of my community. Let's just say my little Ottawa black people community, black people from the Caribbean, parents immigrated here, community. And I found out that this friend lost a child to a homicide in Ottawa. And I was thinking of posting the article, the story in there. It just hits you. Like, I remember ignoring that headline, and it's only it just finding out that the person, the victim, the victim, I know the mother, and they, I'm not gonna make this all about me. I'm just trying to say this news kind of fucked me up, man. I heard about it yesterday, and it's been lingering on my mind. But I remember how. I guess the only reason I'm sharing this with you guys, apart from the fact that it's fucking with me, well, you know, it's, one, I remember hearing the story and, like, mentally putting it in a compartment, not taking the time to process what I just heard. I just, file it away, like a big statement or the name of a rapper or the name of a person. It was just information that I just stored away. And I bring this up because I remember, I think on the past episode, the last episode, what was the last episode called again? I leave this on. I leave my ringer on so I can feel popular. All right. Surrounded by Lonely People. And I think I may have mentioned in the past episode, in the last episode, how in therapy I discovered that I acknowledge, I'm mindful of the fact that every once in a while the urge to cry surfaces, and my automatic reaction is to like bottle it up and to just like repress it, just ignore that feeling. It's kind of like the best I can compare it. It's like wanting, needing to fart. And you're in a public place, and it's, you can't, you're in an elevator, and it's kind of embarrassing, you know it's going to be a loud fart, so you just hold that shit in. And I don't know how dangerous it is, but, it's embarrassing, you keep it. So I treat that same feeling with when it comes to the urge to cry. Now, what I didn't know when I recognized that that emotion came up was, or what I didn't make the connection is how, why this certain urge to cry just pops up out of nowhere. And I'm realizing that maybe it's because of what I just did. Friend of mine just tells me that, this is my barber, explains to me how a mutual friend of ours lost a child to homicide. And all I can think about is anyone who's talked about losing a child has never had anything nice to say. They always talk about how it's the hardest thing to go through. So my heart went out to this person, to this friend of mine. It's like I felt like crying her tears in that moment. But I'm in the barbershop. I'm not gonna fucking cry. So I put that shit on the side. And it made me think that maybe that's why the urge to cry keeps coming up every once in a while, because every time I hear a sad news, whether it's a headline or it's a personal news, I just compartmentalize that. I will deal with that shit later. Anyways, with that said, it breaks my heart. Look, in my 40s, I've finally got used to having friends who are having children. I finally got used to it, that my classmates, we're all grown up and we're all living in that phase of you're gonna have friends who have children. You have relatives who have children. And I'm slowly reaching the point where I'm having friends who are dying. Natural part of life. That's, I'm showing up to, I'm going to funerals or just hearing about a friend, this, whatever, who are dying, divorces and stuff like that. I knew at some point, as part of getting old, is having a friend who would lose a child. I guess I just never realized it would be this soon. Then again, is this such a thing as soon? Maybe I'm privileged, considering maybe there's someone who's like in their 20s who or in their 30s and who have this is like learning that a friend of mine lost a child. That's nothing to me. To homicide, that's nothing to me. Yeah, I guess for me, this is the first time in my existence that I've had a friend, same in my age range, someone that I used to see at the club. We were around when Nas' Illmatic album came out. Someone who party and bullshit at the same time as me. It's the first time that I have a friend, learn about a friend going through that shit. And it's, anyways, it's sad. That's on my mind, man. That's on my mind. I'm bringing this up, this is like fresh news. I haven't processed this with my therapist, in terms of shit that's fucking with me. But, that's on my mind. And it just, I don't know, man. And this fucking world, sometimes it just, I'm just coping with this life of bad news. For some people, this is probably nothing. I did have this urge of finding out, getting the details about the homicide, but it's not as important of what this poor woman must be going through. And I wish I had I'm tempted to reach out to this person, but we haven't talked in a while, and I don't know, man. I'm sure she's got her own problems to go through. She's got a lot of shit to go through, but I don't know. I'm just processing at this moment. I don't have any conclusion to say or any wise words to say, but it's fucked up, man. Life ain't shit sometimes, man. What next I got on This Week in Therapy is I finished reading the book Wolf Hustle by Sin Fabre. And I love the story, man. I love the story. And speaking of crying tears, the way she wrote the ending, that shit was kind of sad. Because, not spoil it. Like, the whole story is, it's kind of like Wolf of Hustle, but with a black woman in there. There was I think she was trying to describe the story as, she was going through Wolf of Hustle, but except it doesn't end with her going to jail or anything like that. But it does end with her, it's like, I'm at this mountaintop. I finally get to where I want to what I wanted. And it basically, she has a moment of, fuck, money ain't everything. Don't get me wrong. Not that I can relate to that problem, but it was just the way she described the ending. The way she describes the ending, it's like it was as sad as Scarface, Tony Montana going out in a blaze of glory. No, she doesn't go out in a blaze of glory, but you would think the ending would be like, good for her. She did it. She accomplished it. But no, the way she wrote that ending, it makes you like, she's like, bitch, I had money and the power, but yet something happens and I'm not happy. I don't know. It's a powerful story. I'm really glad I read it. Like, I breezed through. That's how much I enjoyed this story. And the one thing I will say that the admiration that I have for this woman is, and this is, I mean, whatever, I'm self-deprecating, is she managed to cut it in a world that I couldn't make it in. Not Wall Street, masculinity. In her job, she was surrounded by she was like in the man's world. She was like an environment that was all playing with the big boys, so to speak, and everything. Like she was surrounded by toxic masculinity, patriarchy, the sexism, racism, all that shit. But she managed to breeze through it. I don't know if she'd say she'd breeze through it, but she maintained. Not only did she maintain, but she prospered. She knew there was shit like the shit that she was going through that I can't report this shit to HR because these guys ain't going to take me seriously. I admire her story. She's no saint. Don't get me wrong. Don't read this book hoping to read about how she's a saint and shit like that. No, read this book the same way you would read about Jay-Z doing a drug deal or being a hustler. Bona fide hustle. Yo, she held it down for the Bronx. Everything you've heard about people from the Bronx, that's what this woman was. Plus, add the fact that she was Haitian. Yeah, she'll, I don't know. I guess I'm trying to say it's a powerful story. I admire this this woman and for doing things that I wasn't able to do. And it also confirms another idea she reinforces, like, These gender roles, this whole gender shit, it's all bullshit. She had way more balls than I have. I'm laughing because when I was explaining this to a friend, she said, "You mean she's got ovaries?" Yeah, I mean, how we use the word "have balls" to mean like that's being a brave human being. But yo, she accomplished shit that fuck. I'd have to bow down to her accomplishments. But the whole idea that she's a woman, basically, she's a woman who made it in a man's world, basically breaking all the rules. So, if I couldn't make it in that world, it's less about the fact that I wasn't a real man, it's the fact that I wasn't like her. I didn't have whatever that strength that she had. But anyway, that was the major takeaway that I got from the book, Wolf Hustle. But yes, I do recommend it. I'm going to stop at that, man. Shit was crap. You know, I actually wrote this shit down, but okay. Let me get to We Ain't Gotta Dream No More, the title of this episode. But I do. In therapy this week, I had a moment where I realized that I don't have the capacity to dream like I used to. When I was a kid, I had big dreams. I'm like, I guess I've always been the big thinker, the fantasy, like I could, in no way do I compare myself to George R.R.R. Martin, but I did have a vivid imagination, which I'm told is what is useful, is what you need when you're starting to dream about shit. But I don't know, man, I guess after a certain point of dealing with life, like it was easy. I used to buy all those books about, I mean, I meant to do an inventory on my shelf of all the self-help books that I bought about chasing your dreams and shit like that. Yeah, I was that guy. I was in the health, it was in I was in the self-help section finding books about chasing dreams, being successful. I was reading all the magazines. What was that magazine called? Successor Story? I had a copy of the Rob Report so I could, granted, a lot of my dreams were material and shit like that. But after, I don't know, after age of 30, and basically I hit a point where I was feeling like it's not going to happen. You're not that kid anymore. Those dreams, like, it's, I don't know if I just became more realistic about life. I don't know. There's a touch of being more realistic. But all I know is I've been feeling like I don't have the capacity to dream anymore. And as a result, what's the point on living? Like when I was in grade school, you had grade one, had grade two to look forward to. After grade school, I had junior high to look forward to. Then high school, then college, then having a job. But now that I'm at the job part, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I want to go to Tahiti. Like, saving money, and I was just in therapy session, and I just realized that I felt like I didn't have the ability. Like, there's a twist to the story. I didn't have the ability to, in that session, I just realized that, B, you haven't dreamt in a while. You haven't, like, have a visualization of where this is going. Like, you're a ship and thinking about your destination. Like, the idea of a destination, like, just disappeared. I've stopped having destination. That's what I'm trying to say. I've stopped dreaming about picturing destinations. And we're having a back and forth, a tug of war with my therapist about, why can't you dream anymore? I'm like, you know, because I'm an adult. Kids dreams. Anyways, the reason why I'm thinking of Avon's line, we ain't got a dream no more, is because he's saying this after getting to the top of the mountain, and he's telling his homeboy that, bro, we've done it all. We ain't got a dream no more. What do you want? Treesome? We can pay for that shit. I don't know. Whatever, man. You know, we can finance anything you can dream on putting your hands on. We're at this point. I'm thinking about how it's not that I told myself we ain't got a dream no more. I just told myself, stop dreaming. You're too old for that shit. Anyways, the idea of not having dreams, like, got to me. That's what I'm, yeah, that got to me. The song that I, one title that I was thinking of making, the song that was playing in my head, like, if this segment had a soundtrack, I'd be playing, what's that song called again? Hold on a second. The nightmares ain't as bad as they seem, my nigga. Fabulous. Nightmare ain't as bad as they seem, my nigga. Is that the name of the... Okay, hold on, man. Let me just, instead of using my... Fabulous. Nightmare ain't bad. Ain't as bad. Okay, yes. By Fabulous. Doo-doo. Yeah, and I'm not gonna play this. That or Dreams and Nightmare by Meek Mill. Like, my title was supposed to come from one of those two tracks, but instead I just went We Ain't Got a Dream No More by Stringer from The Wire. Anyways, where was I? Yes, plot twist. I did promise you a plot twist. Now, what's interesting is as I was going home feeling bad, realizing that, yo, I don't believe in dreams anymore. It's like telling me to dream is like telling me to believe in Santa Claus. Then at some point, and I realized that the closest I've ever come to dreaming, the closest, I'm not saying I am, it's my dream, but I'm saying the closest I've ever come to dreaming is with this fucking pod, is with this podcast. This podcast that's got no listener except for me at the moment. Okay, maybe one listener, but no, but that's not the point. I'm not crying over the fact that there's no listeners, but it's me doing this podcast. Look, this is what I wrote down. I ended up writing this thing. Sorry, my headphones are tripping. I ended up writing this, and I'm just going to read it out instead of freestyling like I tend to do. I go, my dream is that one day I'm in front of an audience giving an explanation on how I turned nothing into something. I swear I was sober when I wrote this shit. How I managed to make money off podcasting. How I managed to monetize my thoughts. Right now I'm trying to figure out what category this podcast should be in. And the fact that I still can't figure that out makes me wonder whether what I'm doing either has never been done before or I'm full of shit. Full of shit like everyone else that I know with content out there and that's not reaping them any rewards. And I have the audacity to look down on these people. Excuse me. I say that, okay, I'm adding that last part. So make me an, but I'm thinking about a lot of things that I have to unlearn. I'm thinking about here, this is probably, I'm sure it's not unique to Ottawa, but in Ottawa I'm used to being surrounded by people who shit, especially behind their back, on other people's dreams. Or you know, you come out with a mixtape or whatever, and it's not perfect, and people are just shitting on it. And then you shit on it so much that they're scared of dreaming, of trying something new, of venturing out into something different because they don't want to get dissed the same way they've been dissing other people. So I think about how, yeah, I know there's people out there, like friends, close friends who have content, who make content on the internet. On one end, I'm learning to respect the fact that it's not easy to do what they do. I'm respecting the fact that at least they have a dream. They have, like, they want something out of this fucking life. Whether they're going about it good or bad, it's irrelevant. But they have something I don't, and that's desire. But instead of high-fiving these people for trying something, I'm just looking at them going, hey, you got no listeners. Fucking look at you thinking you're bad. How dare you think you're going to make it good? You're going to make it big with that shit. I don't know. Look, bottom line is, I don't know, but this is as close to in a while, age 47, that I've realized that I've came close to dreaming. The last paragraph to what I wrote, I said, I mean, yes, regarding my podcast. I mean, yes. And how I haven't figured out what category this shit would go in. I said, yes, I'd have myself listed on Apple Podcasts. Oh, by the way, I should mention that I'm listed on Apple Podcasts. Oh, I usually list that at the end. And on Google Directory. So, you know, hold on a second. All right, that's an accomplishment on my part. Yes, I am listed on... Sorry, something got done. Whatever. Okay, focus, B. Get back. I mean, yes, I am in the personal journal section of Apple Podcasts, and I did mention in my description that there's comedy involved. But how the fuck do you go from what I got now to there? To this? To being a guy... How the fuck do I go from this shit that... I won't lie, man. I make podcasts. I don't listen to my own podcast. I hate the sound of my fucking voice. I won't lie. This is my nothing right now. I'm at stage nothing. All I got is a dollar and a dream. Shout out to J. Cole, man. A dollar and a dream. That's where I'm at right now. I'm at stage nothing. And I don't have any... images on any pathways on how to get to where I want to go. The only thing I know for certain, is that I ain't trying to get any answers anymore from people who either don't know or pretend to know. That's another thing about living in Ottawa. Okay, I'm sure it's not unique to our city, but... when people talk about you tell people your dreams or you tell people what you want to do, you can count on some asshole to show up and tell you, well, this is what you need to do based on my reading, not an experience or anything like that. It's just, this is what I would do if I was in your shoes based on my no experiences. Meaning, Meaning, yeah, all I know about, the only thing I know about this dare where I want to go is I ain't trying to hear the opinion from the peanut gallery. I'm not even sure what I mean, what that means, peanut gallery. But I ain't trying to hear so-called experts. Pretty much it. That's really what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm up for ideas. That's where I'm at. Another thing I just discovered is, again, I was sober when I'm kind of surprised that I did this while sober is, this podcast is actually, what you're listening to is someone, this is the background information to a, like, this is just, you're just listening to some guy who's, like, this is a podcast about a podcast. That's what I'm saying. This is a podcast about a more successful podcast, so to speak. Define success, B. But yeah, does that make sense? This podcast is about a podcast. That's what you're listening to. It's actually more. It's my soapbox again. It's my personal journal. But the podcast that I want, that monetizes, that I can make money off, the podcast that allows me to be like, fuck this job, I'm done, the podcast that allows me to get bitches and hoes, money, cars, money, cash, hoes, money, money, cars, money, cash, hoes, no, what did you say? Money, cash, hoes, yeah, that podcast. That's not what I got right now. But this podcast is the podcast that leads me to that podcast. That's all I know at the moment. That's all I know. Dollar and a Dream. Man, I should have called this episode Dollar and a Dream, but that's a shout out to J. Cole, but that's for a future episode. But yes. All right. Okay. This concludes this week in therapy. I have had other things to talk about, but I'm considering making a bonus episode because, again, I want to run through these random thoughts, and I'm not trying to keep you people. I feel like a teacher and you guys are anticipating recess, so I'm not trying to keep you at your desk longer than you need to be here. Random thoughts. I'm working on some sound effects. I need to get some sound effects for this show, but that's whatever here or there. Random thoughts. All right. Thought that I put down is I said rent banking is depressing. Colon banking is depressing. Okay. I am, how do I explain this, man? Look, my finance sucks, man. If we were getting grade as you know, we're all supposed to be adults. And the one thing I don't do well as an adult is financing. I used to have a financial advisor, and I remember him talking over my head and having no fucking clue what this person is saying. You know, I'm going to make this a quick rant because just to say, banking depresses me. I guess I'm doing better than before, because before it was just the way I would work is as long as Visa doesn't say no, spend. So essentially, once you hit your credit limit, that's when you start worrying about, oh, okay, you know what? Maybe I should spend less. Yeah, no, fuck that. I don't believe in spending less. I believe in increasing my credit limit, because I'm not taking this to me on my death. Increase my credit limit or make more money. Sell drugs. I've never sold drugs, but I'm just saying make more money. But the idea of spending less, every time I spend money in my mind in that particular moment, I needed to spend that money. Banking is depressing. It's really just, again, this is where I'm at today. Maybe tomorrow I'll be a more financial responsible, more financial literate, and I'll be able to say, you know, use words like, I don't know, RSPs. I know what an RSP is, but maybe I'll be that guy talking about, yes, I have a few investments and blah, and blah, 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 and I'm, I got a Tahiti, I got a treaty in Tahiti, so I own a percent. And yeah, I don't know. I'm not there yet. But right now I'm the guy who looks at his bank account depressed. It's not that I'm not making money. It's just I have a shitload of bills I have a shitload of interest that I'm paying. Like, I'm going through, man, fuck RBC. Oh, man, am I saying personal information? Man, whatever, man. Fuck RBC. I go through my bank statement, and there's fucking money coming out of that account, and I'm like, what the fuck? And it's just the word interest payment. No details, no whatsoever, just interest payment. I'm like, who the fuck? Anyway, yeah. Interest, this motherfucking interest is getting a lot of my money. Interest is like Barlow from The Wire. No, interest is worse than Marlo from The Wire. He got his head in my motherfucking pocket. Anyway, all right, stop it, B. Stop it. Yo, man, I found topics to make me emotional here, man. Fuck. Okay, I'm in the red a lot in my zone, so calm down, B. I'm getting emotional again. I'm getting emotional, calm the fuck down. Okay, now that I'm calmed down, what's next on my item? Fuck! Herschel Walker and Kanye West. hold on a second. These motherfuckers deserve a... There we go. Okay, I'm going to end it with that. All I'm going to say about Herschel Walker, calm the fuck down, B. Don't get emotional. Okay, I told myself I was just going to give him half a bar and say, fuck y'all niggas. But all I'm going to say about Herschel Walker and Kanye West is they're going to be my church ratchetness for this weekend. Because Herschel Walker is a self-proclaimed, he's another proud Christian. And Kanye West is, just to give it a little details. At the beginning of this week, what happened is, I remember, it's basically, long story short, Kanye West did some Kanye West shit. And this time, the Kanye West shit that he did was wear a White Lives Matter t-shirt. White Lives Matter, a shirt on the back that says White Lives Matter. Let me tell you something, black people, the world, anyone listening. White people do not need to be reminded, especially by black people, that their lives matter. I'm just going to leave it at that and just finish with, fuck that. Herschel Walker, what did he do? Well, he's running for, what is it, Senate? He's like one of the good ones for the Republican, and he's got the support of the Republican Party, and they... I guess I should mention he used to be a football player, and I think he's suffering from whatever it was, from the concussion, whatever, when you get a concussion, like his brains, you put the, look, man, he ain't all there. He makes a lot of fucked up mistakes, but this time, he was a big, huge advocate of the forced birth movement. Like, he was like, yeah, man, nah, fuck that, abortion should be illegal. And then this week we find out that The Guardian has an article, a story about how this motherfucker paid for someone to have an abortion. And you think the Republican Party has backed away from this guy? Nope, they're still backing him. But look, he paid for an abortion. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong is when you spent most of your time going online and shaming people and being Mr. Anti-Abortion guy. You know, look, I'm just going to leave these two as my examples of today in church ratchetness. And church ratchetness is a segment that I created for myself where I take the time to talk shit about the church. And I think these two are my example of why, because I talk shit about the church because I'm a son of a pastor, and this is what happens when you force your kids to go to church, and now I'm just resentful of the church. And these two classic clowns just gave me an example to be like, yeah, man, fuck the church. All right, okay. What else do I got? Oh, wow, not bad, B. You're going to, okay, no, you know what? I was about to pat myself on the back for doing good on time, but I realized the last segment is going to be like, A doozer. Okay. Now, we're not at the last segment yet. We're the before last segment. We covered, what is it? One, two, three, four. Oh, four shit, that's it? Okay, anyway, yeah. So we're at number four right now. Okay, so this one I listed under Mean People Suck. And it's a headline that came up, and it says, Breaking, CBC Toronto. Patricia Juggernaut has filed a human rights complaint against Bell Media alleging a systematic pattern of racism, sexism, and discrimination. Now, the only reason I brought this up is because I was just thinking about my current work environment that I'm in. I'm not in a bad work environment, but I do detect elements of, like, my spidey sense are telling me that some people, there's like, There's one person in there. He's just who's just one bad day. There's a few people in this organization. This is my sister telling me. There's a few people in this organization who are like one more bad day from going on stress leave. And what gets me is I see these signs, but I don't feel right. And if I were to like try to do something about it, like talk to someone about it, there'd be like a defensiveness. Like I don't feel like it's an open environment to be like, I don't get a sense that anyone feels like, yeah, no, we're trying to be better. We want to be better. We want to hear your feedback. Nah, I feel like it would just, okay, I'm going off topic. My point is, if you're in a work environment, your boss or the people in charge aren't really interested in improving shit unless someone is getting ready to file a human rights complaint at the organization, about the organization. That's what gets me. There's this white dude who kind of fucked up my day who follows me on Twitter, and he wrote regarding this Patricia Juggernaut, and he said that, nah, she sucked at her job, yada, yada, yada. I hate the fact that she's using the race card. Man, I hate when white people use the word race card because it's never good. It's usually never. The funny thing is I was thinking of scrapping bringing up this piece of news because this white dude called and said, oh, she's using the race card. And I don't know why I let the opinion of a white person that I don't know like get close to long story short. I'm trying to get details from this dude about did she really suck at her job? Because based on what I see, she, if she's Stacey Dash filing a human rights complaint about systematic racism, I'm like, yeah, nah, sister, you're on your own. But if she's just, she's got a claim, then I got her back. Look, rules, it's in the rule book, the black people rule book, I got her back. But one thing I do know for sure is she's filing a complaint against Bell Media. And Bell Media has a fucking reputation, been having a reputation of having a shitty work environment. So I'm just saying, I know I'm all over the place. I'm just saying more power to her, but I kind of wish that we lived in a world where people took shitty work environment more seriously. Am I making any sense? Like, I wish people gave a fuck about that kind of... Look, I'm used to dealing with people, talking to people about, you know, coming back from work and them having a shitty day and how someone contributed to them having a shitty day. And I'm like, why do we have to be so mean? Why do people have to be so mean? Like, look, man, we work together. Like, we all work together. We all spend, like, a majority, 8 hours of our 7.5, depending who you are, whatever, 7.5, okay, what the way your job is, you got a full-time job, okay, you're working in an office job. We all work 7.5 hours together. Can you try not to be an asshole? Like, I go into work. It's not my intention to be an asshole. Don't get me wrong. But then again, someone might call me an asshole because I didn't deliver what they want. Look. All I'm just saying is I have a dream. Oh, wow. We ain't got a dream no more. I have a dream that people can go to work and not hate their coworkers. They can hate the job, but not hate their coworkers. That's really what I'm... Or coworkers, people wouldn't contribute to people having a bad day. Am I making sense? Look, I'm just going to end it with... It sucks that she's in this situation, and I hope things change. I guess that's really what the last thing I'm just trying to say. But yeah, all right, that's all I'm just trying to say. All right, okay, where are we? Okay, let me get to the last piece of segment, and it's a debate between faith versus rationality. It's not a debate. It's a clip, a YouTube clip. Called Faith versus Rationality, some dude that I follow, and I'm fascinated. Now, I know I might lose a few people. I might lose you with this one. You're going to listen to this shit, and you might be, it might bore you, but I promise you, I'll give you the context to why I found this clip worth talking about. All right. Okay. All right. So one more time. He goes, hold on a second.
You can't.
There we go. Oh, thank God. It's on mute.
You can't reason your way.
Okay. The author's name is, what the fuck? Jack Dot Laro? Oh, Jack Lawrence. Okay. On Twitter, he's at Jack Dot Laro, LAWRO. But his full name is Jack Lawrence. And no, I love his content. I'm a fan of his content. And this is him. He's being two people. He's impersonating. Basically, he's pretending to have to be two people having a debate over or having a discussion about faith. One person is talking about faith, and the other person is talking about rationality. And here goes.
Way out of this one. You can't reason your way out of this one. That doesn't make any sense. That's the point. No, you can always reason your way to a solution. Is it not possible that some things can't be solved purely rationally? Everything can be solved rationally. The universe is logical. But is that an assumption or a conclusion? Science, maths, engineering, all of that stuff comes from logic, and it works. So it's a conclusion. But it's also an assumption you made in order to build science, maths, and engineering. Why is that a problem, anyway? Well, how do you justify using logic in the first place without it becoming a circular argument? Hey, listen, I see what you're trying to do. And while I am enormously respectful of it, I just don't think that faith is a good plan B. That doesn't sound enormously respectful. You know what I mean. Everyone has faith in something. Nope, not me. Really. I strive to be 100% rational, just like the universe is. You truly believe that? Yes. No, I know it is. Look, tell yourself whatever you need to tell yourself. Okay, well, why do you have faith then? Well, in my experience, logic and rationality don't work for everything. So, what? You decided to try a different approach? Yes, exactly. That sounds awfully rational. What do you mean? Well, rationally, if rationality and logic don't work all the time, logically, rationally, it makes sense to try a different approach. I suppose. So it turns out that you are, at least partially, using rationality to justify your faith. Maybe so, but you also use faith to justify your rationality. No, that's totally different. I have axioms, I have assumptions. But that's the faith. There is no self-justifying epistemology. There's gotta be some way around this that's purely rational. I'm afraid there isn't. You can't reason your way out of this one.
There we go. Faith versus rationality. All right, for those who still stuck around to, this debate reminded me of, or this conversation, the hashtag faith, rationality, logic, reason, axiom, philosophy, Socrates. All right. So this debate reminded me between faith and rationality, reminded me of this white, and yes, I have to point out that he's white, atheist dude that I knew. And, I tried to have this exact similar conversation with him about faith versus rationality because at the time I was more religious than I am now. I was more spiritual than I am now, and I did believe or I was an advocate of the concept of faith. I don't know. What am I today? I don't know. I can't. But I was more, I felt like I would be the guy talking about faith. And this atheist, this white atheist, we engaged in this side of this same kind of conversation. But for him, he looked at it as, I'm right, you're wrong. Basically, he took on this conversation probably like the same way the white people the Europeans who came to Africa or to this continent. To this continent, and saw the indigenous people practice, express their spirituality, and just dismissed it as you fucking savages. Yeah, and just we're gonna teach you about Jesus. That's all you need to know. So yeah, no, this atheist, he wasn't trying to hear shit of what I was trying to say, and he was just, but he was like a staunch believer in everything. In rationality, everything can be rationalized. The only thing that exists, faith is bullshit. Rationality is dope. So I thought we were engaging in that conversation where, you know, we would both take it or leave with something. Like, I felt like I took away, I understood what he was saying. But later I realized that, nah, man, he was just a white boy who was just, yeah, look, you savage African. you're talking about me. Yeah, look, you savage African. I, as the white man, will tell you what it is. Anyways, yeah, so that's why I brought it up. That's why I was thinking about it. But this this clip also made me think about what exactly separates me from the other podcasts. Excuse me, from other podcasts that I'm used on listening to. And that is, a lot of the podcasts I listen to, some of them will talk about ideas, but they also focus a lot about talking about people. And that's not me. I mean, yes, I did have a, you know, fuck Herschel Walker, fuck Kanye West segment, but it was more about how they made me feel. Like, for as far as I'm concerned, I'm in a play. We're all on the stage, and there's a lesson learned from our interaction. So yeah, so the focus should have been on how exactly Kanye and Herschel Walker and the shit that they did made me feel. Like, it was supposed to be this podcast. It just, listening to this dude's Jack Lawrence content just made me realize or feel like, yeah, no, that's my stick. That's what's gonna be my stick, is talking about concepts, idea. Now, the whole faith and rationality thing, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a little difficult. I can understand if for some people it's hard to follow, but my intention is to make it more applicable. Not to say he's not applicable. Let me put it this way. Jack Lawrence is the guy I should have had a conversation about faith and rationality, because he sounds like he's open to new thoughts and reasoning and all that beautiful shit. But that's my thing, man. If you're listening to this podcast, if you're following me on my journey, you are someone who gets excited over an idea and whatnot. Sure. Yeah. No, I mean, I could talk about how, you know, men ain't shit. No, I don't know. That's not. Look, if yeah. I'm trying to formulate. But long story short, this is a podcast about ideas. What kind of ideas? I'm still narrowing that thing down, narrowing it all down. All right. Okay. What else did I say? Yeah, I want to discuss the ideas. Okay. Anyway, yeah, that's I'm gonna leave it at that. And hey, all right. 51 minutes in. I'm proud of you. Good job, B. Good job. It's difficult. Like, at one end, I want to be the podcast that I feel free to do what I want to do, but on the other end, there's a saying about you can only talk as long as the other person is able to listen. Like, you ain't got shit to say once the other person checks off. So, yeah, I'm just gonna end here. Tap myself on the shoulder for making a podcast that's I smoked weed yesterday. Maybe it's fucking up my ability to think, or maybe it's the fact that I'm excited over smoking weed. You know what? Okay, let me just try to end, because I'm just proud of myself right now. Proud of myself that there's 8 minutes before an hour, and that rarely happens. So, this concludes today's episode. You can follow me on Twitter at the name is B Blizzak, or Shut Up Podcast. We're at Shut Up Podcast. Mr. Shut Up Podcast for you. The website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And, all right, I need to update this, all right? And, hold on a second. Let me, hold on a second. Where's my shit? And, I guess I should have did this at the end. And, you can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed on the website, or go to Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. We're listed there. We're listed on the NASDAQ. No, we're listed on those two directories. But we're going to be on the other popular, I'm going to be on other popular podcasts. But the point is, I finally stopped procrastinating, got off my fat ass, and got myself listed on Apple and Google Podcasts. So, there we go. Yes. There we go. Yeah, what else, man? What else we got? And then finally, there we go. All right, thank you for listening, and remember, be kind to your favorite podcasts. Peace.